And joining me right now here on the phone line to go over the latest in the world of sports, he's got his great job as a local broadcaster, PA announcer, and he helps out the community. He's my good friend, J.C. Myerholtz. J.C., how you doing today?
Doing fine, Mark. Hey, tomorrow's June 1st.
You got that right. I saw you last Thursday at USSSA Space Coast Stadium for the big, big softball game between all the school teachers here in Brevard County. You did a great job, and happy birthday. I know it was your birthday that night.
Yeah, I celebrated my birthday by working. I substitute taught early in the day, and then I did the faculty challenge. But it was a lot of fun, and I think it's about the fourth year I've done it. So, it worked out well. But certainly the highlight of the evening was one Mark Moses throwing that first pitch.
Yeah, what did you say? Lucas Giolito? What did you say? Makes me laugh.
Well, I was trying to decide. Okay, Mark Moses, do your best Lucas Giolito. I think I said Michael Kopech, though.
Yeah, I think you – maybe last year you said that. And then I think I one-hopped it to the plate. And your reaction, you're just like, okay, then. That's what you said into the microphone. It's so funny. Oh, man.
Hey, boy, Mark, you couldn't throw it like 60 feet, 6 inches?
I mean, I didn't want to kill the person who's trying to catch the ball. This is not a professional catcher. It's not. So I'll tell you, dude, that's a great event. It really is, to really kind of kick off the summer, and that's the end of the school year. So I'm happy that you help out that event because I think it's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, again, I've done it for 3 or 4 years, and it's nice to have the fans come out. And, you know, a lot of it is, you know, students of all the players that are playing. And, the teachers get to, you know, celebrate a little bit. And, they had some nice in-between inning promotions, you know, dance-offs for the kids to go a little bit crazy, but hopefully under control. And, it worked out well.
All right. I actually went to a baseball game last weekend. I was talking about it yesterday, but I'm telling you now. This past weekend, I went to Chicago. I went to the Cubs game. I saw them take on the Reds. It's my first official regular season game with the pitch clock. I loved it, dude, in person. It was great. I know you and me went to spring training games, but it was great in person because the action just keeps going. I think it's great, and I want you to know that.
You know, I'm good with some of the new rules, and I'm not good with others. The pitch clock, that's okay because, you know, some of the batters could be human rain delays. You know, they got to adjust their wristband and tug at their helmet, and, you know, they take like 30 seconds. So I think the pitch clock is good, and it keeps the defense behind the pitcher, you know, a little bit more active. They don't tend to fall asleep. I'll tell you that. But the one rule I don't like is the limited number of pickoffs that a pitcher can have. I mean, really two. So that means you better, if you throw over on the third one, you better pick the guy off, because if you don't, I forget what it is terminology wise. It's either a balk or a stolen base. And I don't like that rule at all.
When we get to the playoffs, do you feel like we should keep these rules, or we should go back to how the rules used to be when it comes to the playoffs?
You know, the pitch clock rule, I think you could keep. But the limited number of pickoffs, I mean, maybe you cap it at like five. I mean, I don't like it any more than anybody else when they throw over like 10 times in one at bat. You know, you're trying to prevent a speedy runner from stealing, but boy, just two. I have a real problem with that. And I don't know why a team can't shift. You know, again, you and I think have had this viewpoint where, you know, you're a major league hitter making millions of dollars. You can't hit to the other side, or if the third baseman's playing way back, you can't lay down a bunt. If more players would do that, then shifts would probably go away. I mean, there are great hitters who can spray the ball around and you don't really shift against them. And then there are the ones that are, you know, I guess strictly pull hitters. Well, learn to hit the other way. I mean, what is the problem with that? Or lay down enough bunts where you can get a bunt base hit and, you know, maybe shifts will go away. So, yeah, I like it when teams shift. I think it's part of the game, and the offensive team has to adjust.
Here's what's interesting. For television purposes, I like that the game is sped up and then it's not taking 3.5 hours. But actually going to a game, JC, I get the other side of the story where, hey, I'm going to a game. I'm dropping all this money on tickets, parking. I'm getting a cold one. Maybe I'm getting a hot dog. I'm spending all this money. I don't want it to be 2 hours long. Let's make it longer because I'm paying a lot of money for this. That's what was interesting when I was at the game. I could now see the other side of this where, you know what, maybe I want the game to take 3 hours or so.
That's an interesting take. I mean, if you have stuff to do after the ball game, you don't want to be there for 3 or 4 hours. Maybe you have an appointment you have to go to. But, yeah, if you're paying a good amount of money, yeah, maybe you do want a 12-inning game. By the way,
yeah,
the ghost runner, I think I can go along with that. I was kind of skeptical at first. But the thing is, each team gets to do it. So it's equal. Unlike the NFL overtime, it drives me crazy where, okay, now, well, you kick a field goal, well, the game's not over. But still, you know, both teams don't really get the ball. I mean, if the team scores a touchdown, the game is over. Why can't the other team get a possession? And then they play four downs, and if they don't make it, then the game is over. At least baseball, the ghost runner, I mean, you have to do it that way. I mean, the home team has to, you know, get a chance as well. So the ghost runners, I think I can live with that. Now, I think in the postseason, that's one you can waive.
Yes. Sometimes I go back and forth with the ghost runner, where he starts at second base. So all you need is a base hit, and then he could score. Maybe start him at first base? I don't know. You know what it is? I've been watching sports my whole life. I feel like I know the rules to these games, and then I'm still not sure. Like you were bringing up the NFL overtime. I'm still not sure what the rules are, and I cover the NFL, JC. Do you feel that way sometimes?
Yeah, and, you know, I just remember the other rule. Like, you bring in a relief pitcher, and the pitcher has to face at least three batters. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's something like that. I don't know if I agree with that either. I don't know. But
Joe Madden is not currently managing. He might try and get back into it, but you know, he was the typical mad scientist situational guy where, you know, the game would slow up for about 5 or 10 minutes because he'd go out, you know, get a lefty on lefty or a righty on righty. And, you know, maybe that's not very attractive. You change pitchers like you're changing your socks in one inning.
Have you ever been to Wrigley Field before?
No, there are many things that are still on my bucket list, and that's one of them. And I mean, what I would like to do, and I mean, I could see you doing this, is try and catch the Cubs and the White Sox in crossover, where you go at a time where you catch one team, you go to a game, and then the other team is coming back into town. Were you able to do that?
No, I've never tried that before, where you do the two games in one day. I'd like to try that. Maybe I do that for New York with the Mets and the Yankees. Is that possible? Could I pull that off?
Well, yeah, or if you're spending 3 or 4 days there, just try and catch it where there's a crossover between the two teams. I mean, that's the way I would do it. If I ever went to Chicago to watch baseball, I'd try and catch the crossover because I'd like to see Comiskey Park. I mean, it's an historical venue. In fact, I don't think it's even called Comiskey anymore, but you know what I mean.
Look, no one can keep up. All right. So the question is, what ballparks are on the bucket list for you, JC?
Well, let's see, Wrigley and Comiskey. PNC, the Pirates. I think my brother went to a game there a couple of years ago and loved it. The Roberto Clemente Bridge, the skyline is really immaculate. The Pirates aren't doing that badly. I don't know if they can keep it up, but, I mean, it's a good young ball club with some good good young players. So Pittsburgh, I haven't seen a lot of the ballparks in the Midwest. The only ones are Houston and Milwaukee. So I've never been to Cincinnati. So that might be on the list. And, you know, Cincinnati is a great baseball town. And you go back to the Red Stockings of 1869. So I've pretty much been to every park otherwise up and down the East Coast. And I've been to everyone up and down the West Coast, but the middle of the country, I don't get to the middle of the country that much.
Have you been to Fenway Park before?
Yeah, but many years ago. I'd say it's been 25, 30 years, and I think I went there like multiple times over multiple years. But that was way back in the 80s. I mean, the one game I remember doing, and only I can, I guess, remember this, the year that the Tigers started off 35-5 in 1984 and eventually went on and beat the Padres in the World Series. I remember in August going to Fenway Park, and I was on like one of my summer trips. I was still in college at UCF, and I was on a summer trip with my, two great friends who I'm still in touch with. Yeah, we went to a Tigers Red Sox game, and that Tigers team was really, really, really good. And that might have been the last one, or I might have gone to one. I don't know if I even went to one in the 90s. It was mostly in the 80s when I went to Fenway. So, yeah, that's off the bucket list. I'd love to go to a game now. Now, back then, you could almost literally walk up to the ticket window and buy a ticket that day. And now, getting a Red Sox ticket is really, really hard.
I completely understand. Yeah, I got to go to...
They've won three World Series, and just the way things have gone as far as how you can purchase tickets, whether it's StubHub or some other method, it's really hard with some of these traditional teams to get tickets the day of. I mean, you have to really scramble to, try and get them.
I think they've won four. Is that right? So let's see. 04,
yeah, 3 or 4, yeah.
04, 7, 13, and 18. Man, what a world.
I guess it is four, yeah, wow. Boy, after not winning one for like 100 years, they've made up for lost time.
See, my buddy Tim and I were having this discussion where, okay, used to have the curse of the Bambino, and you had the curse of the Billy Goat, where, it's like the Cubs are the lovable losers, and the Red Sox, they can't get over the Yankees. But now they both won championships. Are there curses anymore in baseball like there used to be?
Well, right now, I think the Indians are the one team that haven't won anything since, 1948. They made it back to the World Series in 54. That was the famous Willie Mays catch off of Vic Wertz. And that was an Indians team. I think they won 111 games, and the Giants swept them. And, mostly what people remember was that incredible catch by Mays, which you see it 100 times and you still can't believe it. And then they made it in, 95. They lost to the Braves. Very competitive series. I mean, they could have won that. And then 97 against the Marlins.
They were loaded.
And then, of course, the Cubs. What was that, 2016?
Yes. That was.
So, I mean, they've been close. They've been to the World Series a little bit. But, 1948 was their last World Championship. But I think Bob Feller was still pitching.
I think maybe that is the curse. I think that's the one right there. Maybe what do they call
the Cubs? And now, I think it's the Indians. Texas Rangers. They've come close a couple times, but they're a younger franchise. Although you go back to when they were the Senators, but as far as a long-standing franchise, I think the Indians are it. As far as
winning
a title.
What are they called now? The Guardians.
Oh, I'm sorry, the Guardians. I'm sorry.
I forget. Don't worry. I forget. It's kind of like in the NFL where Washington. Now they're the Commanders, but then there's like talk like maybe they'll change their name again. You can't make this up. You can't. It's so crazy.
Not to get into politics, I didn't think Indians was really that terrible of a name. The Redskins, I could see why they should have changed that name a long time ago. It goes back to the Boston Redskins in the 30s. Indians, I don't know. I don't have a problem with it, but some people do, and I guess they decided to change it. So, I got to get up with the times. It's the Guardians.
It is. The Guardians. But the real question is, what's going on with your New York Mets, buddy?
They're kind of stumbling along. I mean, they've had injuries. But look, every team has injuries. Scherzer and Verlander, again, two future Hall of Famers, no doubt. But they're a little bit fragile. Carlos Carrasco, he can't seem to stay healthy. I don't want to get too much on him because he's a cancer survivor, and he's really – kind of a nice role model for people that have had cancer, but he's had arm injury. So, and then Quintana, who I think pitched for the White Sox at one point, he hasn't pitched yet. So their pitching staff's been a little bit of a scramble. Now Senga, the guy from Japan, I watched the game last night at TBS against the Phillies. He was wonderful. So hopefully he continues to, you know, pitch well. You know what? They're kind of stumbling along, but so are the Padres and so are some of these other teams. The Blue Jays not playing as well, but I got to believe the Mets will get it together because, I mean, they don't have a terrible amount of injuries. I think it's mostly their pitching. I mean, their positional players, to my knowledge, they're all healthy. So hopefully they get it together. I guess if you get to struggle a little bit, do it in April and May, and then as the summer heats up, you know, start getting it together.
Are the Braves the team to beat in that division then?
Yeah, I think they are. I mean, they're just, you know, they're really good. And you know what? They've had injuries to their pitching staff. Who's it? Sirotka. I think they're hoping to get him back, you know, sometime. And Wright, Kyle Wright, he's on the injured list. And yet the Braves, I mean, it really doesn't slow them up. They find other players to plug in, other starting pitchers. I mean, their farm system's really good. And what is it? Triple A Gwinnett is right next to Atlanta. So if they have to, you know, pull somebody up at a moment's notice, they can do it. So yeah, you got to like the Braves. You know, the Phillies, like the Mets, kind of stumbling along. I mean, you would think they'd get it back together. Bryce Harper can stay healthy. The Marlins have been a pleasant surprise. And I think that's a team that's going to eventually break through in the next couple of years. A lot of good young players led by Alcantara, their pitcher. The Nationals, they're definitely a few years away. So that's my assessment of the NL East.
There you go. You know,
it's
funny.
Mets and Phillies are probably battling for a wild card, but the Mets are only like five out. They just can't get 10 or 12 out or they're going to be done as far as winning the division.
Well, here's what's interesting. What happened last year? Mets and Braves both won over 100 games. And then the Phillies went to the World Series. So honestly, is your outlook, hey, just get into the playoffs if you're the Mets right now?
Yeah, just get into the playoffs. Now, I got that wild card, and I'm glad they make it a 2 out of 3 instead of the shotgun one game where you play 162 games, you get a wild card, and then all of a sudden, oh, the whole season comes down to one game. The 2 out of 3 rule I like. Now, it didn't help the Mets, although they did get it to a third game. They won game two against the Padres. Still a pretty good idea to stay out of that wild card game and just win your division. Now, you know, people saying the Mets choked, I don't think that's really correct because they played about 20 games over 500 last year, the last couple of months of the year. The Braves played like 30 or 35 over 500. They were just on a record pace. Now, the previous year, the Mets kind of choked it away and didn't play, played barely 500 ball the last couple of months, and the Braves seized the division. You know, last year, not as much. So I think the bottom line, I think if the Phillies get it together, it'll be a three-team race, and probably two of those teams, well, one of them will, but I mean, at least one of those teams will be the wild card.
What are you working on now, buddy, for the next couple of weeks?
Well, of course, you know, Florida Tech is done. Another fun year helping out at Florida Tech, my 20th year, the longest running job I've ever had. It's worked out so well, you know, as far as my sports career. It took me about 20 years to figure out, you know, where can I go to really become a fixture? And, you know, I really enjoy everybody at Florida Tech. And so I'm looking forward to hopefully my 21st year coming up, in the fall. USSSA has the Pride starting in about 3 weeks, the professional softball team. And also I'm going to be hopefully doing some electronic scoring for the various youth tournaments that are going on, which is youth baseball, youth softball. Of course, the kids are out of school, and USSSA is going to have their complex full just about every week during the summer. Some tournament, you know, is coming. And, so I think I've got a summer job to kind of get me through the summer, and looking forward to it. It's getting hot, though, I'll tell you.
Yeah, it is. I'll end with this. And look, you do a great job, and congratulations on 20 years there at Florida Tech. So
I saw
my nephew play Little League Baseball, and he plays for the Mets, and he wears number 5. And I'm like, hey, it's David Wright. And that's when, and I thought of you right when I said it as well. So I didn't know that.
Oh, great. How old is he?
He's 7. He'll be 8 years old this fall. So,
so he's like either T-ball. He's either T-ball or the second level of baseball, whatever that is.
They did it where like the coach just throws the ball at them. You know, like you kind of overhand, and you're at that age. You're just trying to learn, like, okay, run to first. All right, throw the ball. That's why I try to tell parents, like, hey, they're just learning the basics. Don't get too competitive about this. Just chill out. We're going to be all right. So,
you know, I think that's the second level, because, you know, there's T-ball for the really little guys. And then, I think the next level up, you know, in my days in Ridgecrest, California, my younger days when I used to cover Little League, the next level up is the coach pitching it. So, well, good for him. But what position does he play?
Oh, they make you play every position to try it out, I like.
Okay.
I do. Like, I think that's key. I think that's very good for any little kid. Just learn to play different positions and see what you like. And that's why I always say try different sports. You know, maybe you like basketball. Maybe you want to try football. I think it's key at that age to see what you want to do.
Yeah, the year-round thing, I guess if you could fit it in, it's fine. But I think you should play various sports as well. I mean, I just think it kind of molds you together as a person. And then you can, you know, after high school, you can, you know, specialize.
Well, you could see, okay, Patrick Mahomes, where his dad was a major league pitcher.
Right.
And you could see Patrick Mahomes with the way he can move his arm and the angles he throws at. You could see he played shortstop and played baseball, and that helped him out where he can throw it. It's interesting. JC, my man, thanks for your help as always. Always love getting you on, and have a great day then.
Well, Mark, hope to get on again, and have a great summer.